Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. So for today's show, I wanted to talk through a concept that's been rattling around my head for a while. And this is something that I made a YouTube video about and posted recently. And it's kind of funny. I used to do conference talks years ago where I would have these sort of things that were rattling around in my brain that I kind of felt worked well as a talk rather than as an article. And I would go and give conference talks. But for a variety of reasons, I really don't do that anymore. I found it was very disruptive to my ability to work and my family life. And someone said, I don't do that anymore. But now I do videos, apparently. But in this video, I'm talking through just a way that my design philosophy has evolved over the last few years, and specifically how it relates to sort of things that we would often refer to as accessibility. And we tend to think of accessibility in that sense of like, if you go to the iOS settings app and you open it, there'll be a section that says accessibility. And like, these are the accessibility features. And these are typically things that are kind of compensations for a limitation, perhaps, of a user, that they could have limited vision, or they have limited motor skills, or things like that. We tend to think of them in that way. At least I did. And this was, I think, increasingly, that's a reasonable place to start. And that's in, starting to think about these kind of problems in the first place is like problem number one. Once you're there, you're well ahead of a lot of developers. But I think increasingly what I found, though, is that perspective was kind of limiting me in the way that I was finding ways to improve my user's experience. I think, and the key insight I had was that sort of every ability along every dimension of one of my users exists along a spectrum, exists on this from in this wide range of abilities. In the simplest case, you have something like full vision, perhaps, to something like is limited vision. You have that exists as a spectrum. Like between those two points, there's lots of different things. But it also could apply to a variety of other dimensions of a user. It could be their experience with applications. Like yours could be the first app they ever downloaded from the App Store, or it could be their 1,000th app that exists on the App Store. That's a form of the user's experience that exists on a spectrum. Or you could have other kinds of things in terms of their life situation, where they are physically, that isn't necessarily their ability to use the app, but like as someone who makes a step counting app, where they are physically, like are, their physical health, their physical mobility and those things, all of these things exist on this spectrum. And I can make my user experience better. I can design my app better if rather than focusing on the ends of that spectrum, I try and focus instead on the entire spectrum. And this leads to me to sort of become to a place that I don't really talk about accessibility anymore. I talk about inclusiveness when I'm talking in my own design mindset, when I'm thinking about design, when I'm thinking about what my app should do and how it should do it. I think, how can I make this app as usable to as wide and possible audience and in the greatest sort of possible contexts, right? How can I make every little part of it more inclusive? And I found that this is just sort of, at this point, it sort of boils down to, in general, it's sort of, you end up these places like, well, that's just good design. And it's like, yes, exactly. But it's a very useful way for me to get to a better design by asking myself that question. How can I make this part of my app more inclusive? How could more of users be made to feel comfortable using this app? Because I think another version of this in some ways is to say, like, it's about inclusiveness and comfort. And I want so many more people, or as many people as I can, to feel comfortable in their use of my app. And since I've sort of adopted this philosophy in the way that I'm doing my design work, it's been so helpful. And I found all these ways that I can make my apps better. And we'll go through some of those examples later, both in my apps as well as in Overcast. But like, it's really just, for me, it's been this very helpful filter that I can apply to all of my design work. And as a result, I think my apps have gotten a lot better.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it, because like any other form of accessibility, you're not doing this for some kind of, charity, feel-good reason. This is just good design. This is just good business.
Yeah.
This makes your app usable at all, and then also more, often more pleasant for more people. And that's just good design, and that's just good business. By ignoring or by not considering some of these broader factors, like what you're saying, I think people are missing a lot of potential, and I think apps are missing a lot of potential usefulness and usability. And yeah, we'll get to specifics in a little bit, but so many people only think of how will this work for people who I can think of who are basically like me. And there's a lot of different people out there in the world with a lot of different situations and abilities and preferences and needs. Accessibility is, you know, the way we think of it traditionally in terms of, you know, things like accommodations for people who are hard of hearing or who have imperfect or missing vision or various other, like, you know, kind of physical disabilities or different needs. That is one side of it. And of course, that's a huge side of it. But even just conceptual designs of how certain features work, what features even exist, how they look, how your app uses language and iconography, like all of those things can have such big impact on much kind of much less obvious or much less in your face accessibility and inclusion needs.
Yeah. And I think within that, it's one of those funny things of how you know, I often think about like, at least this is the way that I used to do this. And I think this is where I learned that I was sort of limiting myself was I would think of sort of what I would say, like the average user. And I would try and build my app that was like good for the average user. And then I would think of these sort of very special cases off to the side of that. And the sort of build features, you know, I would do my dynamic type or do my voiceover or do my localization, like do these things that are very specific things to like cater to little islands within the sort of the universe of different users. But then I had in my mind that like I had this average situation that I was sort of catering for in the middle. And it's one of those things of it's like, there is probably actually no average user. That it's like, if you're measuring a user in, you know, like 100 different dimensions, you may end up with like, there's a mathematical average user, but there may not even physically even be a person who meets all of the criteria of that thing, that most users are going to exist in all sort of these very different clusters and these different, you know, sort of islands of ability or experience. And so building something that has trying to sort of be optimal, that isn't flexible, that doesn't adjust, that doesn't have these kind of thing affordances in it to be as inclusive means that there are no one user is ever getting the optimal experience. And I think that was one of those things that was like, oh, right. I'm building this not just for like a person who doesn't exist conceptually, but even I'm practically building this for a person who doesn't even exist in reality, most likely. That most likely there is no average user, that every user is somewhere off axis on some dimension in some way. And so that they're not in the middle at any one point.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. First of all, I'm aware that there's some kind of like Air Force fighter jet design story that goes basically exactly like that. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but setting that aside, this is also one of the great values of beta testing, in my opinion, because, you know, beta testing, one of the great things it does, especially for a brand new app, is, you know, when you're developing your app, you kind of just use it the way you would use it. And then as soon as you get anybody else using it, the reason why betas are so valuable and you think of things like, you know, user observation and things like that, is that you can see, oh, I didn't even consider that somebody might use it like this, or somebody might have this need, or somebody might react this way to this. Like, I remember back, you know, 1,000 years ago for the Overcast 1.0 beta, I had so many changes between the beta and release because simple things like people didn't understand what certain settings did. And would misunderstand how certain features worked. I had to change so much as soon as it had contact with users because I realized like, oh, not everyone thinks the way I do, or not everyone uses their podcast app the way I do.
Yeah, no, and it's just one of those things that maybe it's just maturity that like I think about the world in a slightly more inclusive way at this point, that I've been exposed to more users who use my apps in fantastic, wonderful, beautiful ways that aren't in any way the version of sort of the use case that I built initially. And like the more expansive I can have in my design philosophy, the better it goes. And so like, I think in some ways, maybe like that's like the theoretical aspect of like the philosophy. But I think really, hopefully we can kind of narrow this down by talking through some aspects of our apps that do this kind of philosophy. Because I think that's where you really start to understand that it isn't just the checkbox you check. It's, you know, it's a pervasive part of the design philosophy.
Before we get to that, we are brought to you this episode by Indeed. We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of our show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/under the radar. Just go to Indeed, that's Indeed.com/under the radar right now, and support our show by saying you heard about it, Indeed, on this podcast. Indeed.com/under the radar. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our thanks to Indeed for their support of this show and Relay FM. So let's get into specifics. So, how, you know, talking about inclusive design, like what? How does this look in your apps?
The first place that I think is one of these fascinating things, if you can really boil it down into something very simple. One of the simplest features in Pedometer Plus+, which is a step counting app, is setting a daily step goal. You know, how many steps are you trying to achieve in a goal in a day? And if you do that, you know, there's so many things in the app that are designed around reinforcing that behavior. If you've reached your goal, it celebrates, confetti comes down, you start your streak, like the colors change. There's many, so many things that are about really, you know, reaching your goal. And so, but it's an area that I recently did, you know, in about a year ago, I did a massive redesign of Pedometer Plus+, and I was working on this, you know, working on the goal adjuster, you know, which is just like a plus and a minus button to increase and decrease the goal. And in the first design I built for this, I had, you know, the plus button was green and the minus button was red. And this was like seemed sort of vaguely intuitive. And in the app, like green is typically like you've met your goal and red is that you haven't. And I built that feature, and then it's like one of those things where I looked at it the next day, and I was like, "What am I doing? Like, that's weird. What I'm implying in this design is that like increasing your goal is good, and decreasing your goal is bad. Like that, because just broadly, yeah, I think certainly in Western culture, like there's that kind of a connotation with those kind of colors in that way. And I looked at it, and I was like, "Wait a minute, like." The app is just trying to encourage you to be however fit and have whatever kind of goal is appropriate for you in your current circumstances, whatever that is. And if you just, you know, sort of slipped the day before and, you know, hurt your ankle and can't walk very much now, lowering your goal is 100% the appropriate thing for your life and your situation. Or if you have a cold or your life is just complicated and different, like whatever the goal is, it doesn't matter. The fact that you chose it and then you're working towards it, that's the part that is actually important. And so like I completely redesigned that control. And so that now they're both green. They're just different shades of green, you know, so that there's nice contrast visually. But like I'm trying to design that feature in terms of the way it looks to mean that whatever your current physical sort of situation, it's inclusive to that and it will work and encourage you towards that. And similarly, in that same way, like that feature, I remember when I first built Pedometer Plus+, you know, this was 10 years ago. The step increment when you hit the like increase and decrease button, I think when I first built it, it was 500 steps, you know, so you could go from say your goal was 10,000 steps. You could lower it to 9,500. You could 9,000. And so it was when I was building it, I was like, oh, this is great. It'll be a nice quick way for users to make big changes. Like they could, you know, sort of quickly jump up and down. So I'm making it so they don't have to tap the button very often. It's like, okay. And that was fine in some ways, but then I started getting feedback. And like one of the most impactful bits of feedback I ever got was from someone who worked in a rehabilitation center for veterans who had been injured. And he was talking about how he loves the app as a way to encourage his patients to be more, you know, be more active and be, you know, take more steps in a day. But increasing their goal by 500 steps at a time was impractical. And it was too much for them. Like what he really wanted there for them is to be able to make these small increments to their goal. And by doing that, you know, continue to have this sort of gradient of motivation that, you know, they can maybe every week they can make a small increase to their goal. And that sort of builds over time in a way that helps them to, you know, walk again in a traditional way. And he asked if I could lower the, you know, the jumps. And it was one of those things where it's like, I'd never even thought about that. Like I'd never thought of that. This is a sort of part of the spectrum of use of my application where this could be the, you know, where it could be useful. I'd never really thought about Speedometer Plus Plus as a rehabilitation app, but it could totally work in that context. And so as a result of that feedback, it was like, now you have much smaller increments, and the increments get smaller the smaller your goal gets, you know. So when you're down, if you're in the very, very low step counts, you can, you know, have very small increments in your goal. And then as your goal gets a bit higher, they get a bit higher faster in terms of, like, it seems that there's a bit more of a reason to, you know, sort of to make it so that it isn't too many clicks per goal. But it was just one of those things where it's like, these are little aspects of the app that in some ways are kind of, you know, kind of small non-core features. But even there, I could find ways to cater to a variety of lives or situations in terms of, you know, not making you feel bad about lowering your goal, because you lower your goal based on whatever your situation is. And then also making it so that whatever kind of increment to your goal would make sense in your circumstance, whether that be, you know, you're wanting to take just tiny little extra steps each day or each week or each month or whatever that is, like, I can cater to that, and I can design the app to still make you feel comfortable. And in all of that is to make it feel like you're using the app in the way that it was intended, that the user never feels that they're sort of misusing the app, or that they're kind of, you know, they're the odd one out here. So it's like, no, the app, they should feel like the app was made for them, even though the app was made for everyone. But if you make it fit for everyone, then everyone feels like it's made for them.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Because, like, you know, you mentioned, like, as you've gotten older, you know, you've seen more in life, and you've seen more types of people, you've experienced different things. And I think that's one thing, like, you know, in our youth, we further assume that a lot more people are like us, and sure, there are just all sorts of different types of people, situations, conditions that we don't think of, not because we're, you know, jerks, but just because we haven't been exposed to them yet. It is nice to keep in mind, like, there's always going to be more of that. Even if you're 100 years old, there's going to be a lot of different kinds of people you've never met, or maybe didn't even know, you know, situations you didn't even know existed, that or conditions people might have that you didn't even know existed. So it's important to constantly challenge your assumptions about your users and your designs, and try to make as few assumptions as possible, especially around things like, you know, first of all, what people are able to do, as you mentioned. Like, that's a huge area. Part of that's accessibility. Part of that is, you know, just kind of, like, you know, conceptual design of what the app does and how it does it. You know, just, are people able to operate this app in the way I expect? Like, are they able to, you know, as you said, like, with step count, like, is 500 steps a reasonable increment for everybody? Like, in my app, you know, with Overcast, I have to think about, like, what environment are people operating this in?
Sure.
Like, I just got an email yesterday from somebody saying that he wishes the controls in certain areas were a little bit larger, because he often operates it in a dock in his car, and he doesn't want to, like, be unsafe while driving. I have, like, you know, certain things in Overcast that I frequently have to operate when I'm walking my dog, and my phone might be in my hand as I am in motion, and as the leash that my dog is attached to is attached to the same hand.
Sure.
And so that's a big motion environment there. There's a big risk of dropping my phone if I do it wrong. And so, like, certain types of interactions I find in that kind of environment, certain ones work better than others, or certain ones are very challenging or very risky. For every app out there, there's a million things like this. What if your app is being used by a nursing mother? First of all, that's going to be a one-handed situation. It's probably going to be a low light, low noise situation a lot of the times. It might be a low awakeness situation a lot of the time. Like, there's so many real life situations, and these are common situations. Like, this isn't even getting into things that are less common that you might not even, you know, be aware exist. This is common stuff. And there's so many big and small decisions when you're designing your app that you can be like, all right, this screen, this explains things in a certain way with this text. What if somebody doesn't know English very well? Or what if they just don't know this terminology very well? Well, you know, what if, as you mentioned earlier, like, what if this is their first app ever? You know, that's probably not the case most of the time, but it will be the case some of the time. You know, what if this person is just really non-technical? What if this word that we're using means something else to them? You know, like, what this word that we think most tech people will assume to mean the tech meaning, but it has a different meaning in the rest of the world. What if a user thinks it means that instead? There's so many opportunities for that, for your app to either be, you know, kind of accidentally exclusive to people or accidentally user hostile, or if you you know, think of these things to actually be pleasantly useful and to not cause friction there.
Yeah. I think in that there is something too. This is the thing that was so, I think, very helpful for me was the sort of disconnecting the physical aspect of this, that I think there are many aspects of like the physical characteristics of the environment and the physical characteristics of the person using the app. Like we often can focus on those kinds of things. I think it's useful. Like this is in very much, this is one of those, like this is the union of all of these ideas is the best philosophy. You know, it isn't that you should not think about those things, but it's, I think there are other aspects that I've increasingly sort of started to wrap my head around. And these feel very like just good business, where it's the thinking about, you know, don't make assumptions, like you were saying, about how sort of how much a user will understand something. Try to include lots of, you know, sort of like in Pedometer +++, I have tons of, like almost every control in the application includes at least a sentence or two of explanation text saying what this setting does and how it does it. And even there, like the switches themselves, I try to make them unambiguous in terms of rather than having like the classic iOS on and off switch, which I think can be useful, but also sometimes it's slightly confusing where like you don't know which state is what. And like there's an ambiguity there that can, I've seen this in experience with some of my users, is it creates this sense of like fear that if they change something, they don't know what the other state is going to do. Like they're going to be surprised in a way that they're fearful. And that's not a great place for me to be. Like, I want to be, make them feel comfortable. And so, like, rather than having an on-off switch, I tend to have the segmented controls with clear labels on them for what states you're going to have. It's like, is automatic, is your distance mode inside Pedometer +++? Like, how I'm calculating how far you've walked. There's an automatic version, and then there's a version that's based on your height and your stride length. And so it's like, it just says manual and automatic rather than, you know, automatic on-off, which is somewhat more ambiguous. And it's like similarly, I think about in Overcast how the screen, when after you've got the app, you open it up, you've said whether you have an existing account or not. And then like the next place you go is like add a podcast. And you make no assumptions that they know what a podcast is. Instead, you provide them with this nice structured directory of like, here's some podcasts that you might be interested in. You can click on them. You can kind of explore. And you're giving them a jumping off point because you're not assuming that these people know what a podcast are or where they would get them or that how, you know, that you're like giving someone, you could imagine a version of that screen that was very much based on just like searching that like, oh, well, of course you know what you're going to go and get. Like, but if you did that, you're assuming that they know what they want. And maybe they don't. Maybe they just like heard the name podcast come up on some aspect of their life or they heard someone talking about it and they just like, oh, I wonder what that's like. And they ended up in your app. If you make assumptions about that, you might just immediately turn them off because you're not just making assumptions about and sort of catering and building affordances for physical characteristics of the user or their environment. You're making assumptions about their sort of experience and their cognitive ability and those types of things, which are other attributes of our user that we need to make sure we're taking into account. And if we do, we can make more people feel more comfortable in more ways. And that's great for that person who's a new user to your application or to your type of application. And now suddenly they're new, you know, like you've just converted them into a fan of your app. They understand what it is. They can see the value that it's going to provide to them. And like you're off to the races rather than just like bouncing off. And even worse in some ways there, like if you make someone feel foolish, if you make them feel like they, you know, sort of don't have a sense of competency, like you're giving them a very actively negative feeling. Like that's not like a neutral experience. It's not like good and neutral. It's like good and very bad. And as you know, we want to avoid those very bad experiences at all costs if we can.
I think too, like you might out there, you know, you might be underestimating the competitive advantage this gives you over other apps. There's a lot, especially like if you're designing for neurodivergence, that's a huge potential opportunity for indies like us, because so much of modern app design and app culture is incredibly hostile to a lot of people. And if you are not neurotypical, it might be extra hostile to you in various ways. And so, for instance, various ways that apps can cause stress or can cause irritation in certain ways. The design of modern apps is terrible for that, for so many people. There are so many needless sources of anxiety and stress in apps because either the app designer didn't consider it, or more likely, they are optimizing for different things, optimizing for certain types of engagement, as we were kind of talking about in a couple episodes ago, talking about how like you know, you as an indie can optimize for making your app nice to your users instead of just trying to extract every possible click and dollar out of them. That's a huge potential market. Like the way Overcast is designed, my goal for its design is to basically make it a good, normal app. Yeah. So those are two very big words, a good, normal app. What most apps are these days have thrown out the concept of what we used to consider like normal app design. Like when I say normal, I mean like basically follows the Apple HIG a lot of the time, kind of looks like a standard stock system app, but done well with just a small dash of personality. But it mostly looks like a stock app. Like, you know, my app inspiration for design is Mail. it's not like a complicated, yeah. Like I'm not trying to make my app the next Snapchat or anything. So that's what I'm going for, but that's really rare these days. And as time goes on, that's getting more and more rare to the point where even the built-in system apps oftentimes do not follow that design paradigm. And so I get an increasing number over time of compliments and 5-star reviews from people saying basically, thank goodness I found a normal podcast app, or I like this app so much because it is just a good like normal app. Sure. And this is a shrinking market. In terms of supply, but it will always be there in terms of demand. So there are so many opportunities out there and so many different kinds of people. You can get these customers and you can please them and you can improve their lives by doing what indies do best, which is making apps that are not abusive or annoying or in your face to the users and just doing a good job of it. The value of that is only going up.
Yeah. And I think in that is like good, normal. And I think I would add to that thoughtful.
Yeah.
Is sort of the other aspect of this where it's that sense of, have you tried? Have you thought, I mean, have you done it? And then you look at your design as you see, how can I make this better? You know, have you been considerate in that way? And it's like, it is such a powerful thing to just do that. It feels like a basic step, but even just fundamentally doing it gets you so far that it's like, did you really try? And did you try? And then have you been open to that your initial design is not the best design, sort of by definition? Like fundamentally, that is never going to be the case. And instead, you have an open mind to listening to feedback from your users. You know, as things go on, you're open to new ideas in terms of as you think of better ways to do it. You're not lazy about in implementing those ideas because, oh, that maybe that's difficult or maybe they have to do some hard work. It's like, no, if there's a better design for your application, you should do that. You should be thoughtful in the way that you approach this. And if that thinking leads to a better place, like do that work. Because like fundamentally, like that's the job. Like the job is to do that. And I think it's one of those wonderful things. Like, I think users appreciate it. And it's sort of in a very subtle way. It's not the kind of design that's like super flashy and sort of in your face in its designedness, that it's like this overly ornate or fanciful kind of thing. But these are just like the fundamental framing of a really thoughtfully designed experience that leads your users into a place that they're just like, it's a joy to use. It's easy. I understand it. They get where they're going. It feels like they're using the app in the way that it was intended, even though they're using their use of the app may be unusual in terms of as a sort of like in a, the pantheon of all the different users you have, their use may be a slightly unusual one, but they don't feel that way because you've designed it to accommodate all of these different aspects. And it's like, if you do that, then it feels nice. And it's good for you me as a developer. It's good for me as a user of other apps that approach this kind of design in an inclusive way. And it's like, ultimately, I think it's good for your business. I think making an app that makes more people feel more included is only going to do good things to their loyalty to the app, to their desire to, you know, become a subscriber or those kinds of things in your application. And you're just like, I mean, in it, fundamentally, you're just like making the world a better place. And like, I mean, what more could we want from our careers and the sort of things that we spend so many hours each week doing?
Yeah, you know, for a lot of people, navigating apps and their phones in their lives is basically just a series of paper cuts, or it's a minefield. And you don't necessarily know that if you're like a tech enthusiast developer like you know, you and I are, Dave. Like, you know, you might not realize how many people... It really is like a minefield, and it's just constant, like, you know, basically paper cuts from their phone and from the software on it. And if you can make them be like, oh, thank goodness, like if you can make them relax with your app because it just works and doesn't cause all these paper cuts for them, you really stand out way more than you know.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful place to be.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.